Morning, morning. I'm on my Land's End to John O'Groats tour, so thank you for letting me join you.
Good luck to you.
Staring over a beautiful Watergate Bay.
Well, you're the lucky one.
Choppy waters here, but...
Now then, let's get serious. Labour, would you do a deal with Labour?
Look, I think who does a deal with whom in terms of governing our country after Thursday, of course, is entirely determined, and should be, by the votes of millions of voters.
And they those votes will be determined by whether we think you would want to do a deal with Labour or whether you want to do a deal with the Tories. So it's a very legitimate question, isn't it?
Oh, I'm not saying it's not legitimate. I'm giving you the best answer I can, which is that unlike David Cameron and Ed Miliband, who are still preposterously charging around the country saying that they're going to win an outright majority, I'm not pretending that the Liberal Democrats are going to win outright. In fact, I know that no one is going to win outright. And what I've said all along is that the Liberal Democrats, much as we've provided a heart to a coalition with the Conservatives, would provide a brain to a coalition with the Labour Party to make sure that they don't mess up the economy all over again. But whether, you know, which party might talk to which is entirely dependent on the decisions made by the British people. All I can say is that the Liberal Democrats will do no deals, no pacts, no arrangements with either UKIP on the right or the SNP on the left. We are now the guarantors of stability at a time of great uncertainty.
Well, let's just
Great risk. The great risk, if I may, of not having the Liberal Democrats in Parliament and government is that we lurch off into this blue kip alliance between David Cameron and UKIP, the DUP and the rest of them, cutting way beyond what is necessary, or reckless borrowing as Ed Miliband and Alex Salmond are in some kind of deathly embrace on the left.
But let's, in order to help voters who are saying to themselves, I don't know whether I should vote Lib Dem because if I do, then they may help put Labour into power, which I desperately don't want, or they might help put the Tories into power, which I desperately don't want. So just help us out here a bit. Are you saying, quite simply and clearly, that if the Conservatives get more seats than Labour, you will go with them or you will offer yourself to them? If Labour get more seats, you will offer yourself to them. Is it that simple?
I think the bit that it is very simple is...
That's
that
a yes or no, really, isn't it,
if,
what I've just put to you?
Well, there's a bit of a multiple-choice question. Let me give you the answer.
No, it's two choices. Two choices there, quite clear.
The party that gets most votes and most seats, in other words, the party that gets the biggest mandate from the British people, even if it doesn't have a slam-dunk majority, seems to me right to give that party the space and the time to try and assemble a government.
Right, well, that's another, and you would help them to do that. That's the key point here. You would help them to form that government.
You can't... You can't have an arrangement unless both sides wish to reach out to each other. I don't know whether that party would then try and
assemble. No, but if they were to reach out to you...
I don't know whether we reciprocate. If the party with the greatest mandate from the British people, if they wanted to reach out to the Liberal Democrats, of course we would listen to what they have to say, because we've got to be grown up about this.
Right.
We've got to, above and beyond everything else, provide stable government.
Indeed. So I can take that as a yes, then, can I? The people listening to this programme can take that as a yes.
They can take it as a yes that we will always follow the democratic instructions handed down to us from the
British
people.
I think it's a Scottish word. You're swithering here.
No, I'm not swithering. You're actually asking me to provide a yes or no answer to a question which doesn't have a yes or no answer.
Oh, but it does. It's very, very simple. It really is. Let me just try it once again and make it even more simple then. If Labour get the most seats, would you offer your support to them? If the Tories get the most seats, would you offer your support to them?
The party with the greatest mandate from the British people, yes, would be the party that we think should have the right to try and put a government together. And if they reach out to us, of course, we would talk to them. What would then happen and whether we'd be compatible?
We got the answer. Thank you for that. Now, just one other very quick thing to clear one other thing up. You said seats and votes. So would you also look at how many votes the party got as opposed to how many seats?
Look, I think it's seats and votes because, I mean, I accept we can go, we can spend the next 10 minutes on endless permutations, if you like, about what might or might not happen after Thursday. I'm afraid I'm not a soothsayer. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm a campaigning politician who believes that first we should obey the democratic will of the British people. Secondly, we should guarantee stability above and beyond everything else. We need a stable, decent and united government after Thursday. Right. I worry terribly about the fracturing of politics as the Conservatives rush off to the right and Labour rush off to the
left. Right. But
that is what the Liberal Democrats offer. If that's what people want, if they want a stable, decent and united kingdom, that is what the Liberal Democrats will provide.
And what if the Liberal Democrats do as badly as the polls are suggesting and you only get half
the seats?
Well,
guess what? I don't think we will.
No, I sort of suspected you might say that. But if it happens...
If you want to invite me to join this kind of cottage industry of somewhat hysterical pessimism, I'm not going
because
we are going to do a lot better than all that punditry suggests.
Fine, but let's assume that you don't do quite as well as you did last time. Would you still...
No, I'm going to assume we're going to do better. No, I'm sorry, I don't accept the premise.
Well,
we're
I'm going to try the question anyway. Just as this,
all
and
right,
I know
on,
you'll
then.
Say it's a hypothetical, but here we go. Is it still... Can you mount an argument for the Liberal Democrats being part of government if they have a very small... If they have big, if, OK, you're saying, but if they have a very small number of MPs, is there still an argument for you being so influential and having ministers in the government? I mean, Vince Cable in the FT this morning saying that you should have as many ministers as you had last time. I'm asking you is whether it would be legitimate at all for you to be in government.
Right. Well, look, I accept maybe one of the underlying premises of your question, which is one should never seek power for power's sake. I don't want the Liberal Democrats to be in government just to have bums on seats in Whitehall. It's to promote the kind of Britain that we want, a Britain of a stronger economy and a fairer society, anchored in the centre ground, not lurching this way and that, ensuring that we finish the job of balancing the books and doing so fairly, investing in our NHS, protecting our nurseries and schools and colleges from the cuts that the Conservatives and the Labour parties are planning, asking our nurses and doctors and social workers telling them they don't have to put up with any more pay cuts. Those are the things that you have got, that's what we want to do, and indeed many other things besides.
Right, no question of legitimacy.
Well, what I'm saying is, look, I cannot tell you now, because that's one of the great mysteries of a democracy, I don't know how people are going to vote on Thursday. My hunch is that we're going to do much better than people think, because as I travel around the country and on my 1,000-mile trek right now from one end of the country to the next, I know this will be confirmed to me, is that in constituency after constituency after constituency, where people get to hear the Liberal Democrat side of the story, because frankly there are lots of other people who tell our side of the story for us, people react to it well.
We'll find out the prospect
of stability and decency and unity which we offer.
All right, a quick one on this, and I know you said you're not going to name him, but the question is, why not? Did Mr Cameron really admit to you in private that he is not going to win a majority? And I'm baffled as to why you won't say yes or no to that.
No, look, in the same way that I don't control the tweets of even Liberal Democrats. I run a political party. I don't run a sect. I'm not going to start providing a running commentary on private
conversations. Well, I don't know that you control even your right-hand man, let alone a sect, because Danny Alexander's prepared to do all sorts of...
What I can tell you very publicly and openly is that what the Conservatives are saying, and they're trying, and by the way, they did this in the run-up to 2010, it's very tedious, they're doing it all over again, they're so panicky now that they're just basically trying to
You're
scare
You're not going to answer the question, are you?
By claim. No, hang on. No, I am. The claim that they can win a majority by winning 23 seats is false. It is wrong. It is a big
Yes, you made that point
thing.
Yesterday.
They need to win 323 seats, and I haven't met a senior Conservative who privately has ever admitted to me or suggested to me that they can do that.
So let's assume you're right. All right.
Look, I understand why they're panicking, because David Cameron is likely to be the first Conservative Party leader ever, perhaps, who has not won a majority twice.
Yes, but
in a row.
You've
so
just been telling
so they're,
me
they're thrashing around.
You've just been telling me very clearly that we shouldn't preempt the election because only the voters know. But let's assume this then, that they do need to turn to you, the Conservatives do need to turn to you for another coalition. Now, I am very puzzled as to why a European referendum is not one of your red lines, because they say they want a European referendum. You do not want a referendum. Why is that not one of your red lines?
Well, can I just first correct your characterisation of our position? The Liberal Democrats have always believed, I mean, we're pro-European, but we're not frightened of the people. And when there is clearly a decision...
Yes, if small transfers of powers are transferred, you'd want a referendum. I understand that. But he wants a clear, in-out referendum.
Well, it's quite important, this. We are not, in principle, against the idea that at some point you ask the British people whether we stay in or whether we go out. I will always argue, of course, that we remain part of the world's largest marketplace, 500 million shoppers who buy goods and services from us. Where we disagree, of course, is that the Conservatives have turned this issue of principle about asking the British people about giving up more power to the European Union, in effect, into a sort of management tool because of the internal divisions about Europe in their own party. That's their problem. You've got to speak to them.
Yeah, well,
about
no, I'm speaking to you because in 2008 said it was an issue of principle for you. Now you seem not to be saying that.
But that was... No, that was the... Hang on, don't rewrite history. That was because of the ratification of the Lisbon Treaty.
Indeed.
And at the time, we said at the time that, and as we do now, that if new powers are going to be given up to the European Union by Britain, that should not be the decision of the Parliament or the government of the day. It shouldn't be a decision taken behind the backs of the British people.
And there hasn't still been a referendum on Lisbon.
No. By the way, it was David Cameron who U-turned on that, not the Liberal Democrats. We've always said that we believe that.
All right, but this time you're U-turning.
Entered into. No, we've stayed absolutely consistent from 2000, before then, and since then. In fact, so consistent, we legislated to get... David Cameron and I did this together in 2011. At that time, David Cameron agreed with our position, namely that when new powers are given up to the European Union, that should
trigger... Yes, but David Cameron has gone much further.
Yeah, well, exactly. Since then, they have changed
their
mind.
And I'm asking you why that shouldn't be a red line. That's all I'm asking you, for you.
What I'm saying is our red lines, the Liberal Democrat red lines, are the ones I'm focusing on. And they are, as you know...
And I'm asking you why that isn't one of them.
Because we choose the red lines that we think are most important for our country.
Well, fine, if you're saying that the in-out referendum is not that important, OK, understood.
No, let me be very clear with you. I think many people listening to this programme, some of them may be anti-European, some of them may be pro-European, some may not really care one way or the other. I tell you what, a lot of them will think investing in the NHS is much more important to them, making sure that their local nurseries and schools and colleges are not cut by ideological cuts from George Osborne is more important to them, making sure that everybody can earn £12,500 without paying a single penny of income tax is more important to them.
Let me pick up on that then,
future generations. No, but all I'm saying is, if you're asking about priorities, I am pro-European. I'm an internationalist to my core. But do I believe that our country should focus on balancing the books and doing so fairly, finishing the job fairly, and not lurching this way and that? That, I think, is actually the central question for these outstanding hours and days of this election
campaign. Let's talk about your strategy, because, as you say, your big boast is that you have been a moderating influence on the Tories and things would have been much worse if you hadn't been there. But actually, that isn't working, is it? Because on the few things where you have influenced policy, the Tories have claimed credit for it, and it rather looks to many people as if you haven't done very much at all. And indeed, some of your areas have completely misfired altogether.
Honestly, that really is, even by the provocative standards of the Today programme, to
I
claim that a party with
8%
actually, as it happens, when this was my earlier point, when the Liberal Democrats point out, talking to people on doorsteps and in communities as we do in the constituencies which we represent, that we are a party of 8% of MPs in the House of Commons, yet it's because of us that 27 million people have received huge tax cuts. It's because of us there's been the biggest expansion of apprenticeships in a generation. It's because of us that we've had the biggest liberal reform of the pension system, ending discrimination against women in the pension system for generations. It's because of us little toddlers at primary school are receiving free, healthy... It's because of us there's better childcare. It's because of us there's equal marriage. It's because of us, the shared parental leave, and the list goes on. That is not a bad record for a party which very bravely stepped up to the plate in 2010. And by the way, the greatest achievement of all, created the political stability without which the economic recovery simply now would not be taking
place.
And
it would have been a far better record, you would admit, if you had achieved some sort of constitutional reform, which you have failed to do. You wanted what you describe always as a fairer voting system. You wanted a fairer voting. In fact, we have a less fair voting system because of you choosing to renege on boundary reforms. And that is going to have probably a profound effect on the outcome of this election. So you've achieved nothing in terms of proportional representation, Lords reform, the things you really wanted to do, you failed to do. So the question really is, what is the point of another Lib-Con coalition?
Well, on the point of constitutional reform, of course, it would be foolish of me to pretend that we, at every turn, I have been frustrated and reformers have been frustrated. By the way, and to be fair, it's not just the Conservative Party, it's the Labour Party. As you probably remember, they basically ganged up together to block even a smidgen of democracy in the House of Lords. They totally blocked, once again, any clearing up of party funding, which creates squalls and scandals for all parties, including the Liberal Democrats, at regular intervals. But the lesson I've learned, which is the point you're making, is if you want constitutional reform, you cannot trust the Conservative and Labour parties one jot. They will always, 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 when push comes to shove, look after their own interests and not actually tackle the vested interests in Westminster, which is necessary to finally introduce political reform. Now, on the issue of boundary reforms, as you know, there was a deal that we would pursue all of these different constitutional political changes, Lords reform, party funding and so on. Frankly, when the Conservatives made it quite clear they were going to renege on every single one of those items, it was obvious that the whole deal was off and therefore the Liberal Democrats could not be reasonably expected to continue with one bit that the Conservatives wanted while they reneged on all the other bits that they didn't like.
All right, well, maybe a final thought on trust, because you make that a very important part of your case, as all leaders do. Let's just look at Trident. You're facing both ways on Trident, aren't you? You say that the Lib Dems are operating, that you want a particular policy on Trident, but some of your candidates, such as Andrew George, says he is voting consistently against Trident. A number of my constituency says have asked me how I voted on Trident. I voted for the notion this House believes Trident should not be renewed. So we have a national policy, which is to retain it. We have a local policy, which is to get rid of it. Which is it?
Oh, look, come on issues like Trident, you have individual MPs in every single party who have views which differ from their
national parties. This is a question of national security. It's not an issue of conscience.
You will find Labour MPs who vote against it. You will find Conservative MPs who express reservations about spending that much money on a like-for-like replacement for Trident. The position of the party is very simple and very clear. We believe in the continuation of a nuclear deterrent in an unsafe world. We, however, don't think what we need to do is spend billions of pounds replacing it in exactly a like-for-like basis, which is the Conservative and Labour position. It was designed originally to flatten Moscow at a press of a button. We think we can step down, a few steps down the nuclear ladder, if you like, maintain a nuclear deterrent, but do so on a less all-singing, all-dancing basis than the one which was designed for a world which no longer exists.
Some would say a typical Lib Dem compromise.
No, some would say moving with the times. I don't know about you, but the Cold War is no longer a threat to us. Surely we should move with the times rather than get stuck with the times.